Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our special guest the executive director of the Rhode Island Statewide Coalition, Donna Perry. Thank you for joining us, Donna.
Good morning and happy holidays to everyone.
The country is still reeling from the massacre last week at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. President Obama is promising new efforts to crack down on gun violence, and the NRA is slated today to make its first detailed response to the school shooting. Maureen, what do you think? Will this really stand as a watershed moment in how America responds to gun violence?
I really do think it will. I think it is such a horribly tragic affair, but it has finally gotten us to look at this whole thing and change a paradigm. There are a lot of aspects to this, but in terms of assault weapons, I think the tide has turned and something is absolutely going to happen.
Donna, the NRA has 4 million members. It pours a lot of money into political campaigns. Can the court of public opinion really counteract that?
I would agree with Maureen. I think this is one of those galvanizing events, and I think sometimes that's what it takes. The nature of the loss of so many innocent children and the brave educators, I think the harrowing nature of it, I really do. And I think it is time, and you're going to see a coalition come together. I think it's going to be needed from both parties, by the way, because you have rural Democrats and Republicans who, you know, have been long entrenched on it.
Let's get you to weigh in here, Scott. And Scott, do you think we'll see a measure of the same concern about the kind of violence that claims lives in the poor parts of American cities on a routine basis?
I think one of the problems that the people who are for gun control have is the passion against gun control. The pro-NRA people are very, very strong. There's a real passion there, whereas the gun control people, I think, tend to have a basket of other things they really care about. But these gun people, a lot of them are single-issue people. Now, I don't think if you take away assault weapons that the elk in Montana or the deer in Vermont are going to be any safer. I think you can do this without taking away anybody's legitimate hunting rights.
And that's why I think this is going to go, because it's becoming bipartisan. And if you focus just on that, I think that's going to move and change.
But you need a group. Here's what you need. You need something like Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Remember, mm-hmm. We used to wink at drunk driving, and this is one of those moments.
Yep.
Where maybe if you had a grassroots, people coming forward, you could do that. And certainly since MAD came out, we've changed our drunk driving laws.
Superior Court Judge Sarah Taff Carter this week ordered mediation in Rhode Island's pension case. What do you think, Donna? Is the lawsuit by the unions against the state headed toward a settlement?
I think we as taxpayers were troubled by that. This is the first major thing she utters on this. And I think you have a problem with process here. You know, this is not a local school district and, you know, they can't resolve the school contract. And so, let's go to the mediation table. I think this is a larger issue. The state feels they're on solid ground. They think you can change the statute. The unions think you can't change the statute. And where is compelling public purpose? So, you know, I think these are larger things and they have to go to the court.
Scott, we see that State Treasurer Gina Raimondo pledges good faith bargaining. We know that Governor Chafee had more support for talks toward a settlement all along. How do you expect these state leaders to break down when it comes to settlement talks?
Well, it depends what the deal is, obviously. You know, the devil is always in the details in these kinds of things. And I don't think it hurts to talk. I mean, you've got a legal case that is probably going to go on and on, be very expensive. Everybody's lawyered up. And it doesn't hurt to talk. And if you don't get what you want, either side feels the deal's not fair. Well, guess what? Nobody's closing the courthouse doors.
Maureen, how would you describe the political implications of these settlement talks?
Well, I think there are political implications in terms of the Democratic Party and this whole business about who's a Democrat. But the more important thing is, I think the state has a very strong case. I think the unions, by sort of demonizing Gina Raimondo, suggest that they know that they're in a weaker position. How do you mediate a constitutional principle? That's the question. And even if there was a settlement, how do you get a majority of 113 people to vote to re-amateurize a debt and to raise taxes? I think the unions have a long slog ahead of them. They can talk, but I expect this to be resolved in the favor of the state.
I would just agree. I mean, I think it's very revealing that union leaders are very welcoming to the mediation suggestion, and you know, I really would agree with Maureen. I think it's going to have to be decided by the court. It's past the point. And you have a process problem.
Very quickly, Scott, what about the point that there are some important legal arguments at stake here and that it's better to get a resolution in court on that, which would not happen with a settlement outside of court?
Well, in every legal case that has this kind of implications, the sides say that my side, you know, the union side says this is an implied contract, and the judge, Sarah Taft Carter, has already said that. And so, you know, the state says compelling public purpose. So you have this thing that goes on and on. And obviously, how long do you want to roll the dice? I mean, if you're looking for principle, this is not the Oxford Debating Society. This is real money, real people's lives. This is people getting their pensions, their retirement. So, frankly, I think if there's a reasonable settlement, then let's go forward with it.
Well, one person who won't be rolling the dice in 2014 is Jon Robitaille. The Republican nearly beat Lincoln Chafee in the 2010 governor's race, but Robitaille points to the Democratic preference of Vermont voters and what he calls some bad choices by the voters and explaining why he won't run. What do you say about that, Scott? Who do you see as the Republican great hope for governor in 2014?
What he said is just ridiculous. We haven't had a Democratic governor in this state since the 1990s. So I don't know who Robitaille's talking to. He just seems like he's sour grapes. Now, I think the next Republican governor, the strongest candidate, would be someone who's been elected to something before. Wouldn't that be a novel idea? Like Alan Fung, for instance, the mayor of Cranston.
I would just say I would disagree. I'm very fond of John and known him along the way. During 2010, unfortunately, we had gotten behind the Caprio campaign kind of early. We felt a centrist Democrat might have the best choice with some of the reforms.
We know that one.
Okay, we know how that ended up. I do want to say I think quickly John had a right to speak from the gut, you know, in announcing, and I know it came across that way. You can interpret the way you want, but I think he's talking about the fact that, you know, there's really just status quo, and even some of the reformers got turned out in this past election. I think he's disappointed about that.
Maureen, what do you think of Robitaille's explanation, and who do you see as the great GOP hope?
Well, I think Robitaille did the right thing in the sense that he didn't want to hold up the works and let other people get out there. I think the statement that he made was a provocative one purposely, to get Republicans and to give them a kind of a idea to run behind. So I think he was setting the thing up. Who is going to run? We'll have to wait and see. I mean, as Scott often says, a lot of these people, like Brendan Daugherty, that would be a very interesting thing. But again, do you start from you know, an entry-level job to be governor? And some of these other candidates, I think a lot will depend on what Lincoln Chafee does. Is it going to be a three-way race? Is it going to be a four-way race? I think time will tell. But I think Robitaille was sort of valiant in the sense that he stepped out now and opened the field to other people.
The outcome remains unclear, but Senate President Teresa Pivoweed says the Senate Judiciary Committee will vote on same-sex marriage in the 2013 session. Scott, is the 2013 session when we're going to see same-sex marriage legalized in Rhode Island?
If not 2013, then certainly 2014. As we know, nationally and locally, public opinion is shifting rapidly on this issue to the pro-gay rights side.
Maureen, we know some people like Pivoweed, Majority Leader Dominic Ruggiero, Judiciary Chairman Michael McCaffrey are not exactly big supporters of same-sex marriage. Why are we seeing this movement forward?
I think the time has come. I think Gordon Fox is going to introduce it. Pivoweed has indicated she's not going to get in the way. There's a lot of focus on who's going to be on the Judiciary Committee. There are already several people on there. Republican Dawson Hodson is pro-gay marriage. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be watching who gets appointed. But I can't see this getting stifled in the Judiciary Committee. And once it comes out on the floor, I absolutely predict it's going to pass.
Donna, the handful of Republicans in the General Assembly include people like Senator Dawson Hodgson mm-hmm. and House Minority Leader Brian Newberry, fiscally conservative, socially moderate. Do you think that's the way forward for Republicans in Rhode Island?
I absolutely do. And as taxpayer advocates, you know, we've never dove into this issue. We wouldn't oppose it. I think that's a more winning formula to stay on the fiscal issues and the tax issues. I have always advised the organization to go that way. And I would agree with Maureen. I think you've seen change around the country. And I think they're a powerful coalition. They got some people elected. And I admire them, but they stay on their issue. And I think Pivoweed's probably talk behind the scenes. And I think that this is the year they're going to make it happen. I really do.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Donna Perry, Executive Director of the Rhode Island Statewide Coalition.
Thanks for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org. And a Merry Christmas to all our listeners.